So my favourite film is Home Alone. So I'm sure that all the people that have been asked to do an Advent talk have got the memo that you have to dress up as one of the characters. And I was rather disappointed that Dave wasn't doing Elf. So actually, most of these clothes are my own, which goes to show that Home Alone has had quite an influence on me, because the crowbar's mine. The only thing that isn't mine is this jacket, which is slightly too big for me, which, believe it or not, belongs to one of the boys. So, so I'm dressed... Can anyone guess which character I'm dressed up as in Home Alone? Yeah, well, that's the actor's name. Not Marv. Keep going. The other one. Who?
The short, chubby burglar.
The short, chubby burglar. That's the one. Harry. Harry and Marv, the wet bandits. I'll put this down now because I can't do this and try and do a serious talk. Well, it's not going to be a serious talk to start off with. Right. But we could, couldn't we? At the end of this 4 weeks, we could vote on the preacher that got up and dressed the best. Just a bit of pressure on the others, that's all. I can't hear you. I think we've got something every week. There's an interval every week. Yeah. Yeah. That's hat's messed my hair up. Why is this my favourite film? So, first reason, it's a feel-good film. It's a film with hope. It's a comedy. That's the type of film I like. Certainly that's the type of film I like to watch with the family over Christmas. Second reason is performances. So I actually do really enjoy the performance of Kevin, which is Macaulay Culkin, and Harry, which is Joe Pesci, which Ian said at the beginning, because he got the actor. So I really do enjoy both of those characters. And the break-in sequence, the slapstick really around the break-in sequence, I think is just brilliant. So it really is. The film has been around for about 30 years. I think we've had kids in the house for about 30 years. We've always watched it as a family, and that break-in scene has always been huge fun watching it together. And of course, with any film that you're used to watching over and over again, you don't get surprised by things because you've seen it before, but you then enjoy the anticipation of what's to come, don't you? So you start, you can see yourself smiling as things happen. Right, so the main characters. So we have Kevin, who is home alone. We have Harry, who I was dressed like. We have Marv, who's the other one of the wet bandits. And then we have old man Marley, who is Kevin's next door neighbour. So there are lots of characters in the film, but when I do what I'm going to talk about mainly relates to these four characters. I should say that in choosing this film, there are a couple of other Christmas films that are really favourites, and I probably, like the rest of you, when it comes to Advent, we start to watch our Christmas films. We start to cycle round, so you know, we'll start watching Christmas films as we get near Christmas. And you know, some of those ones we are going to do in subsequent weeks. So Arthur Christmas is another favourite film, but also Die Hard was a contender. And if we'd have been watching Die Hard, I'd have been stood here bare feet and a vest. In fairness, it might have been more of a homage to Rab C. Nesbitt than it would be to Die Hard. But that was the other choice. So you can see that actually the sort of films I like aren't particularly highbrow, but those are the sorts of things that we like to watch at home. The boys are, I think, yeah, Charlie's made it into the room. Alf is probably listening out in the foyer, but we do enjoy those films. So the premise of the film is that a young boy, Kevin, is left alone by his family. He learns to cope, only to find that his house is being targeted by burglars. And although, you know, as I say that, I'm aware that that's not something we would necessarily consider to be entertainment, but it is Hollywood, after all, so it's sort of okay. But you know, I don't want to make light of that. It's a film. That's its context. But clearly, a child being left home alone is not, in the real world, something that would be particularly funny. And, of course, regrettably, does happen. So I'm sure social services would be very, very interested if that was actually happening in reality. Incidentally, the scene in the film, and I'm going to have to assume that you know a degree of the film, there's a scene in the film where Kevin's mum frantically phones the authorities for help and gets transferred between the police and children's services, effectively just through a divide. And although that's depicted in a small town in the United States, it is actually quite scarily close to reality. So Kevin is a spoilt, dependent boy, gets left at home while his family fly off to Paris, and initially enjoys his newfound freedom. We saw some of the things in the clips. And he learns to look after himself while his mother frantically attempts to get back to him from Paris. But the crux of the film is Kevin's attempt to protect his home from the wet bandits. And it is this part of the film which is most entertaining, as we watch Kevin devise various traps and then watch the wet bandits blunder through them with increasing injury. So that's the premise of the film. But it did leave us with a few sound bites, and you did hear one of them. So, keep the change, you filthy animal, was something that we repeatedly said in our house and continue to say now, and has caused us some problems in restaurants when the boys were younger. And that is true. But it is something that is now in our language as a family. Again, it gives you a bit of an insight into our family. But that is something we genuinely often say. I am looking forward to that. I'll just go back to that. I'm looking forward to the time when I can sit down with my grandson at the moment, who is 9 months. So I've got to wait a little bit. I won't be allowed to sit and watch it with him yet. But when I do, I expect I'll have to explain what change is to him. I expect there won't be such a thing as change by then. And the other thing that we say in the house is Fuller, go easy on the Pepsi. So there's a character in the film, right at the beginning of the film, called Fuller, who, if he drinks Pepsi late at night, he wets the bed. So we've used this at home as a training method. So if it's getting later, we just mention the word Fuller, and just to discourage the boys from having pop late at night, just in case they have a bit of an accident. That, I have to say, is not something we do now. Right, also includes a prayer, which is a bit bizarre. So the whole film is set over Christmas. It has a nativity scene in it. There's a church in it, and he goes in the church. But Kevin actually says a very modern prayer in the film. So let me read that prayer out to you. It says, and it's just before the wet bandits invade his house. And it's, bless this highly nutritious, microwavable macaroni and cheese dinner and the people who sold it on sale. Amen. That's the only prayer in the whole film. But the film for me, so just bringing this into something I can talk to you about and be little, perhaps a little bit more edifying. There's a necessary subplot within the film, which is the relationship between Kevin and one of his neighbours, the scary old man Marley. And when Kevin is hiding in the church, he meets old man Marley, who is there listening to his granddaughter in the choir. It is old man Marley's only opportunity to see her, as he's been estranged from his son for many years. Kevin encourages Mr. Marley to pick up the phone and give his son a call, as no one should be on their own at Christmas. And Mr. Marley takes Kevin's advice, and in one of the closing scenes of the film, Mr. Marley's son and family visit him on Christmas morning. And it's Mr. Marley who eventually comes to Kevin's rescue when he's caught by the wet bandits. So first and foremost, the film suspends reality, and like many Christmas films, is just pure hokum and fun. These types of film are meant to leave you with a smile or a tear on your face or a warm glow inside. All menace is played down, and they all live happily ever after. Well, perhaps not the wet bandits. And you can be guaranteed that the McAllisters, although they have an unusual Christmas, will be looking forward to the following year when they can do it all again in Home Alone 2. But you will appreciate that trying to... So this is an interesting request from Dave. Come and do your favourite film for Advent. Okay, I'll do that. And I thought about my favourite film. And then he said, and then let's have a spiritual message from that. Oh, okay, I'm glad I didn't do Die Hard. But actually, it's I had to pray a lot about that, but I did get there. So, within this neighbourhood, apart from the occasional pizza delivery and police appearance, the place is occupied by the housebreakers, that's the Wet Bandits, and the two neighbours, Kevin and Old Man Marley, both who are in fact home alone. One because his family accidentally abandoned him, and the other because he was estranged from his family due to an argument a long time ago. In some respects, it provides a modern-day parable, how two very different neighbours, both in need, eventually meet and connect and provide each other mutual aid. Also about resilience, Kevin learns to fend for himself and defend his home. And Old Man Marley occupies himself by gritting the pavements of the neighbourhood. They connect because out of their personal resilience, they are able to extend beyond themselves to help each other. So we're going to do a little quiz, and I'm going to go through some Bible verses. So let's have a quick quiz. So you should get this one. What song was being played while Kevin was at the mirror doing his hair? Yes?
White Christmas.
Very good at the back, putting your hand up. Thank you. What carol is the choir singing in the church scene? Nikki?
Oh, Holy Night.
Oh, Holy Night is correct. Very good. Would you like to sing it for us?
No.
Oh, okay. Right, okay, trickier. So this might require some call-outs. What traps were set by Kevin? They were many and various.
Paint
tins, yep.
Heating up the door handle.
Iron on the head, yep. Nail on the floor. Yes. Yep, water on the path, making ice. Very good.
Shotgun to the kneecap.
No hands being put up here. Yes? Micro machines, you're right. Toys on the car, on the floor. What else was on the floor?
Baubles.
Baubles, Christmas baubles. Marv trod on. What are we missing?
Blowtorch on the head.
Blowtorch on the head. Very good, Lou. Sorry?
Sticky stuff.
Sticky stuff. Yeah, so it was glue and feathers, wasn't it? So Harry walked through this sort of cling film thing with glue on it and then got feathers blown on him. Yep. Trip wire. Very good. We missing anything?
Bricks.
Bricks. Don't remember bricks. Perhaps that was Home Alone 2. Harry, Charlie, think of anything? Zip wire. Cut the zip wire. Very good. Cool. I think we've done pretty well. What have I got? Oh, BB gun, which was the shooting of the knee. Iron on head, Christmas baubles, paint tins, rope cut, micro machines, blowtorch, ice on steps. Yeah, I think we've got it all. Oh, last one, of course. The last one wasn't a trap set by Kevin. That was a bit cheeky by me. That was the snow shovel which finished the Wet Bandits, which was Old Man Marley giving each one of them a big whack with his snow shovel.
And the tarantula.
The tarantula, very good. I couldn't spell tarantula, so I didn't put it up there. Apparently it was a real tarantula used in the film, for those people that need to know that sort of stuff. I know far too much about Home Alone. Right, okay. So, like many people, I use social media. I use Facebook, and I quite like using Facebook because it enables me to tell people when I'm having coffee and where I'm having it. But actually, it's quite a good way to connect in with people in it. But what really winds me up on Facebook are these sort of messages you get, these encouraging messages. Now, don't take this wrong, because you may find some of these useful. But because of my background, because I rely on God's word for my words of encouragement, I always look at these other words with a little bit of, really? Does that really help? That? So let me just read a few out and see how you feel about them. So, tough times never last, but tough people do. Scars remind us of where we've been. They don't dictate where we are going. This might be okay. You never know how strong you are until being strong is your only choice. It's hard to beat a person who never gives up. So I have to say, and there's lots like those, and you might trip, they trip out, don't they? You know, when the tough get going, whatever it is. I can't even remember what it is now. But they're sort of... They're very shallow, aren't they? And they actually don't help. So I thought about, well, what are our enemies at Christmas? What are our enemies at Christmas? Who are our wet bandits that are going to come and invade our home at Christmas? And what traps would we set? And of course, what I've done for traps is I said, well, actually, what's the Word of God say about those things? How do we defend ourselves against those attacks? So, the first one I came up with, and this is my list, okay, and you might have a different list, and actually I could personally possibly have different things that I might be bothered about at Christmas. But the first one I thought around was anxiety. We do get anxious, don't we? If we were measured and calm and we found ourselves in a position, we might say, actually, I'm not anxious. But often at 2 a.m, when you wake up, you realise you are anxious about some things. And things happen in lives that make us anxious. But what does God say about anxiety? Matthew 6, verse 25. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? I love that verse because it allows me to dress in the way that I dress. I can always say that to Louise, why are you going out dressed like that? And I can say, well, you don't have to worry about that, Lou. You don't have to worry about my clothes and my body. But actually, we do worry about things like that. We live in a very consumer-driven culture. We watch things on the telly. We see clothes we haven't got. We see a look we haven't got. And people try and strive. And people get anxious over that stuff. And there's no need for us to do that. Philippians 1 verse 6. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry on to the completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Do you know that you're being invested in by God? And God doesn't waste his time or his money. God is investing in you. And when God invests in you, he will make sure that investment comes through. Psalm 37, verses 23 to 24. The Lord makes firm the steps of the one who delights in him. Though he may stumble, he will not fall, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. And I love this verse because actually this is much more true to my own experiences. If someone says, well, you know, how do you cope? Well, I don't cope. I stumble. Of course I stumble. But actually I can hold on to God's hand. I find that a really powerful verse. And they're all promises, aren't they? They're all promises. The last verse, well, last two verses, Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So if you remember one verse from this section, remember that one. And the thing about this verse, it's not just a promise. It's actually asking you to do something, which helps. It is in the doing. It is by seeking God over your anxieties that God is able to work. And again, we get that promise of the peace of God and understanding that our hearts and our minds will be guarded. So that's my first set of traps, if you like, to battle anxiety. So the next thing I thought about was afraid or being fearful. But I actually quite like the word afraid because sometimes we just get afraid. And actually, being fearful is often more about losing control than it is about being fearful about something. It's just about being a bit lost. And actually, you can get afraid in those situations. Deuteronomy 31 verse 6 says, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them. For the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you or forsake you. God is always with us. There's no need to be afraid. There is a command in there, isn't there? Sometimes that's quite hard when you're in those places, but it's be strong and courageous. You can tell yourself that. It's a command. There's a declaration in Psalm 46, verses 1 and 3. God is our refuge and strength, our ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. Though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the hearts of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. That's 2 a.m. That's how you feel, isn't it? you know, we often don't face that type of disturbance. But that very well describes a feeling you might feel inside. God is our refuge and our strength and our ever-present help in trouble. And Psalm 23, verse 5, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You appoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This is a really interesting picture, isn't it? In the presence of our enemies, God will set a table. I'm sorry, I will go back to Home Alone and that dreadful macaroni cheese dinner. But actually, Kevin had got to a point where actually he could have his dinner before they arrived. He was no longer afraid. He was expecting a battle, and he was going to have his dinner, and he was going to do the battle. That's quite something for God to say, actually, I'm going to prepare a table in the midst of your enemies. You are not going to be fazed by this. I'm actually going to put a feast in front of you, and you can enjoy the peace and the feast in the presence of your enemies. It also speaks of another kingdom, doesn't it? Our enemies live in one kingdom, and God lives in another. Okay, next one. Tiredness. We all get tired, particularly near Christmas. So Isaiah 40, verse 31, but those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on the wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. And 1 Chronicles 16, verses 10 and 11, glory in his name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Look to the Lord and his strength. Seek his face always. So again, there's this encouragement, this promise that if we call on God, he will renew our strength. And the last one, which is about overflow. So these are my snow shovel verses. And I guess this is my connection into Home Alone and this idea that actually out of your own resilience, based on your faith, based on your relationship with God, you should have something for someone else. There should be an overflow. You know, we're not God. God is looking after us, but he's not just looking after us so that we can be sustained. He's looking after us so that we can help others. So I'm going to finish on these verses. So Hebrews 10, verses 24 and 25. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some of you are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. And Romans 15, verses 13, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. And 2 Corinthians 1, verses 3 and 4, praise be to the God and Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. That feels very Christmassy to me. That feels like the sort of thing we should be able to do at Christmas, isn't it? Help others through the overflow because we have the God of comfort, God of all comfort. What a great God we have.